Let's do it.
Okay. Ready. Set.
Go!
Go, Power Rangers!
Hello, welcome to Because Nerd. It's the 23rd day of October 2019 as we record this. I'm your host, Chris Farrell. I'm joined today by three of my best and oldest friends, Brad.
Yo.
Clint.
Hey.
And Mike.
Hey now.
All right, guys. What has been going on lately?
I saw Rambo.
The best Rambo meme. Did you guys see this one? If you think that cops only harass black people, you don't know the story of John Rambo.
Lord.
Nice. That's awesome.
So I haven't seen it yet, but it was at least a discussion for a while that the new Rambo movie might have been about like zombie animal creatures.
Oh, I heard that.
How badass would that be?
I lament that that was not the world that I live in. That would have been absolutely phenomenal.
Wait, so Rambo was going to fight zombie creatures?
Yes.
In the woods or whatever?
I think so.
Wow.
I would fucking love to see a Rambo that was kind of like Call of Duty where you got to fight zombies.
Oh, man. Well, you know what, though? Like, I don't think it would be as good as the real Rambo because I'd rather see him shoot a dude with an explosive arrow and have him blow up. And it's no less grotesque.
Oh, dude, Last Blood just one-ups the fuck out of everything else, man.
I didn't see it, but I heard it's pretty gory. Like,
oh, dude, he pulls a guy's collarbone through his skin.
Damn. I
thought it was brutal before. Jesus.
I remember back in the day when a neck snap used to be like, oh, this movie's good. But like, man, that's a whole new level, pulling your collarbone out. Like,
motherfucking brutal.
What was that skit where the guy couldn't stop snapping necks? What was that? It was like he's snapping necks or something.
There's a Key and Peele where...
the Key and Peele. That's what it is.
Yeah. Because he like he's just sneaking up behind everybody. And then when he gets to the main crime boss, they start fighting. And he just starts beating the fucking shit out of them. Like 100, you know, uppercuts to the gut like in a row. And eventually he breaks his neck, but... You remember that? So at the very end of that scene, he's saving the girl.
The girlfriend.
Tries to give her a kiss and accidentally snaps her neck too.
Yeah. That was fucking awesome, dude. That was awesome. I'll tell you what, with Rambo, like I love all the Rambo movies, man. But the one that I kind of liked the most was, I think it was just the last one, just Rambo, where he's in like the Guatemalan forest.
Pretty sure it's Laos.
Or Laos, yeah. And I've always been a fan, and I've said this on the podcast before, I'm a fan of movies with a team of guys, right? So, like, there's a sniper, there's a demolitions guy, there's a tactical dude, and then there's Rambo, he's just a badass. I loved that movie for a couple reasons. One, because of that fact, and any movie with a sniper that saves the day is, like, my favorite movie, man. Anytime, like, you're pinned down, and we can't get in there, and then all of a sudden, dude's heads just start exploding from far away. I'm like, yeah, fucking God.
Yeah.
But then there's the one scene where, like, if I'm not mistaken, he gets up in the back of an old Toyota pickup truck.
It's not a Toyota. It's like a big-ass military truck, but yeah.
And he wastes him with an M60, just point blank, just bah, 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 bah. Oh, my God.
No, that's a 50 cal, man.
It's a 50 cal.
Damn, Clint, you just got, like, the Mickey Mouse version of this.
Seriously, like, he got a 9mm and there was a Toyota.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he starts blowing people in half with the fucking Dishka, man.
Look, he has a slingshot.
Yeah, right.
The guys in the truck are like, oh, quit it, and they die. I'm like, man, I remember that movie a lot different.
Man, I love all the memes of like him holding the butterfly handles on the dish can.
Oh, yeah.
It's really just him giving thumbs up.
Yeah. You know, I read yesterday in the movies, they wanted to be able to have close-ups on his brown eyes because they were like, they described him as having like doe eyes, like his big brown doe eyes. Like, you know, he's a badass, but when you look into his eyes, he's like really got the heart of a...
Of a doe?
Of a doe.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what?
Now I'm imagining it's like Bambi meets Rambo, except for like, they just team up. And now it's like Bambi looks in his eyes and he like sees the spirit of his mom.
They just hug and cuddle.
Dude, no, I thought about it yesterday. related to. Remember My Cousin Vinny? There's a scene where Joe Pesci's talking to his girlfriend.
Marissa Tomei, man.
Marissa Tomei, right. So anyway, like when he's like trying to figure out what to wear to go hunting with the redneck dude, and he's like, do these pants work? And she's like, oh, let me explain. So you see the deer, and he's down by the water. He takes a little sip with his little nose, and blam, his fucking eyes get blown off. Now, do you think he really gives a shit what kind of pants that guy was wearing that blew his head off?
Well, if you were going to get beat to death, would you care if the dude was wearing pink boxing gloves?
No. No, I actually, I mean, for like 1/100,000th of a second, I'd be like, oh, hey, those are pink. Ah, fuck, stop it. Yeah,
probably hurts just as bad.
Nah.
If Tyson in his prime had pink gloves on, ain't going to matter. He's still going to knock your fucking head off.
Look, dude, if Tyson right now had pink boxing gloves, he'd right? get the shit out of damn near everybody.
See, Evander Holyfield on Rogan was talking about the fight when he got his ear bit.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't he say he wanted to bite him back?
Yeah, Evander's like, yeah, I wanted to bite his fucking ear off, too.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. If, like, they just stop boxing and just get zombie on each other. They just both start eating each other's right. faces off.
You know what? That's a good point.
Just trading dick kicks and fucking and punches to the throat and shit.
Did you just say they're trading dick kicks?
Getting kicked in the dick and freaking stomping on toes, punching each other in the throat and shit. It's
like, the whole bout just turned into a game of Rochambeau.
Dude, you know what?
People try to get in there to break it up, but they just knock the shit out of everybody, and they're like, fuck it. Just let them do it, man.
Like, you see the ring, right? The camera pans out. You see the ring, and like in the very center of the ring, it's empty with just two of them kicking each other in the dick and biting ears. And then around them is just piles of guys that tried to stop that they knocked out in the process. So they're overflowing out of the ring. Mountain of knocked out people.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, I got another topic. I'm stoked on this. Like, Stranger Things 3. Did you guys all finish that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. Totally. I finished it immediately. I saw that, like, the weekend it came out. I was done with it.
Yeah, me too.
So I know I'm slow. Like, I just finished it, but...
I'm glad you admit it.
Mike, you're not slow. You're just special, dude.
That's right. That's
right. His mom loves him. She says he's handsome.
You can be anything you want when you grow up.
That's right.
I'm going to be a podcaster who just talks about dick jokes, Mom.
That's so my mom. Like, my mom asked me what the name of the podcast is, and I'm like, I'm not going to tell you, Mom. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, Mama, no, I'm not going to do it, because you're going to go to like your sewing circle and be like, my son has this awesome podcast called Because Nerd. You should listen to it. And the next day, they kick her out of the sewing club. Right. Like, oh, yeah, real proud of that guy, are you?
Okay, now you're throwing me off my topic here.
All right, sorry.
But it's all of the movie references in there are so badass.
Fuck yeah.
Obviously, the Russian henchman, he's a Terminator. The mind flayer blasting out of the 11, Alien, mm-hmm. right? The Alien.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the House of Mirrors, mm-hmm. that's Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, as I was watching it with my wife, I was like, oh my God, we got to go back through and watch this whole thing again and write down every scene that's coming from every movie, because there's shit tons of them.
There really is.
Because I need that in my journal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that whole show is just a love letter to the 80s from day one.
Okay, here's one dumb part of it, right? Elle's been living with Hopper for a good long time, right?
I could say a year at most.
Okay, but still. But within that year, though, don't you think she would have picked up a few more things? Like, the kids are, like, saying stuff to her, and she just gets this dumb look in her face and doesn't understand words and doesn't understand, like...
Look, if they made it realistic, then you wouldn't get that cute 11. What's friend?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Dude, that just reminded me of something from yesterday that Brad shared, the honest trailers of The Terminator. They're like, The Terminator with advanced files on human anatomy. And he's like, I have advanced files on human anatomy, but he doesn't understand crying or laughing.
What are you doing with your eyes?
What's wrong with your eyes?
The jazzercise scene in Stranger Things 3 was pretty funny, too. Like, they're looking at the dude walking in, and he looks like he might be a bad guy with his briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
And he just slips into that room and drops the briefcase. He's got his tights on and just right into it.
That shit was funny.
all the housewives doing their thing.
Yeah, right.
Was anybody else disappointed that the dude didn't bang any of the moms at the pool?
Yeah, that was the first thing I told my wife after that. I was like, oh, no, it was you.
It was me.
I was talking to you, Clint.
It was.
Well.
Totally
confused
was.
Clint with my wife. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, your wife, Clint, seems very similar. I get it. Yeah. Man, I tell you one thing I can't wait to see is Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi's Hitler role. that he's going to be doing. Yes. That shit looks fucking awesome.
Wait, what? What the hell is that?
It looks amazing. It's a new movie with the director of Thor Ragnarok.
Huh.
So when I first saw the first few trailers, you got the little boy and he's training to be a Nazi, and then you've got Hitler, and I thought Hitler was real. I didn't realize that he's supposed to be like in the boy's imagination.
Yeah, it threw me off too.
I was like, oh shit, they're making Hitler a nice guy.
Making Hitler a nice guy.
No, really, man. Like, everybody knows and hates Hitler, but like in this movie, it looks like they're making him a good guy. Like, he's helping this little boy like live his life and be good and like overcome adversity and stuff. I mean, and I know they're doing that on purpose because they're probably going to like just tear it down at the end or whatever. But
the Hitler role in Preacher was really good.
That
whole series was just fantastic.
Fucking Preacher.
But the Hitler role was great, especially when he first leaves hell and he's working in a coffee shop.
Yeah. And actually, in Preacher, they make Hitler kind of a nice guy too. Like, he saves Arsface, and like he's like, you know, he's trying to be good, and you turn out he's got a heart. Like, he helps, you know, Arsface escape, and you're like, what the fuck? They're making
he is still trying to fucking destroy the world, so he isn't all that good.
Yeah, but they really talk him up like he's a great dude trying to destroy the world.
Man, anyone watching Walking Dead?
No.
No, they lost me.
Man, I fell off of it. I don't know. I couldn't stay into it. So what was your favorite season of Walking Dead?
The one where Negan kills everybody. Dude, when he kills Glenn, I was like, all right, I'm in love again.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah? Oh, I got to tell you something funny. So remember I dressed up as Negan that one year for Halloween? So this guy that I work with looks similar to Glenn. So he comes up to me like at a meeting, and he's like, oh, dude, I saw that, you know, you got dressed up as Negan. That was fucking crazy. He's like, dude, when we have a Halloween thing at work, you got to come as Negan and I'll come as Glenn with my eye popped out.
Oh, yes.
I was like, well, that would be fucking great.
Oh, God.
Talking about zombies. Zombieland 2 coming out. That's going to be sweet.
Double tap.
That's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, didn't that spring on you guys pretty quick? Like, I heard nothing about that. And then all of a sudden one day it was like, Zombieland 2 is coming out. And I was like, whoa, what? I didn't even know there was going to be a 2. Okay, all right. So, are you guys? I'm sure I know the answer to this, but is everybody a fan of Woody Harrelson?
Oh, hell yeah!
I tried to find his house in Hawaii. Actually, you know, Woody Harrelson and Kris Kristofferson have homes by each other in Hana on Maui, and Willie Nelson has a house in Paia. So that's kind of each side of the road to Hana. And I went into this restaurant bar sort of thing. There's this giant guitar there. I asked the bartender, why do you have like a huge replica of Trigger, which is Willie Nelson's guitar? He's like, oh, Willie won half this bar in a poker game with the owner. I was like, no shit, that's fucking awesome. In my concierge, actually, I went back and I was like, oh my God, you didn't tell me that Willie Nelson owned a bar over here. Like, we talked about it. I'm a fucking crazy music fan. And she's like, oh yeah, we came back from a mountain bike ride one time and, you know, he came out and handed us our breakfast.
That's awesome. Cool.
And then after we left, something didn't feel right and I was really high and I realized, oh, Willie Nelson spiked my eggs.
All right, guys, I've got a question for you. In the spirit of Halloween, imagine yourself out walking one night when you feel the air begin to grow cold and the hairs on the back of your neck begin to stand. You suddenly find yourself flanked on each side by two ominous individuals. One a pale yet well-dressed man, and the other a horrifying, gruesome beast. They both tell you that you have unfortunately found yourself in the midst of an age-old battle between vampires and werewolves, and you must choose a side. It's time for a master debate.
Oh, shit.
Throughout the annals of time, humanity's greatest thinkers have fiercely beat their heads together to wrestle with the hardest issues of their time in order to all come together in one heated and triumphant climax. It's time to master debate.
All right. First question is, why the fuck are vampires always well-dressed?
So I'm not saying that we couldn't have had a hobo vampire show up.
Let's start the story over again. The hobo vampire's up ahead of you.
I don't want to run around hairy and naked with my balls flipping out, you know? I'm going for that cloak and suit, man. I want to look sharp.
No. This is it, though, guys. If we change the scenario, it should change your perspective. A fucking vampire shows up and a werewolf shows up, and the vampire looks like he just sucked 10 wieners and he's a hobo, and then you got the werewolf looking all badass in the moonlight, you're not going to go for the vampire. I'm like, that dude's not touching me. He is not biting me. Fuck that guy. I'm team werewolf.
I need clarification on the sucking 10 wieners look. What is the look of sucking 10 wieners? I'm not sure if I could just pick that out. Like, I don't know that facial look. Like, who is that? Clint's superpower is just being able to look at somebody's face and know how many wieners they suck.
Isn't that like a common part of their power is that they get a special power? so that like they all kind of get a special thing. That's going to be your special thing.
I'm like, all right, Mr. Vampire, you can bite me, but what are my cool powers? Well, let me tell you. You can look at people, and if they've sucked more than one wiener in the last 10 minutes, you will know it.
Oh, it's got a 10-minute time frame.
It's a 10-minute time frame. Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be actively wiener sucking. I'm matching up Clint's vampire voice to Count Chocula right now.
I know, right?
I was doing it for the Count from Sesame Street, and I was imagining that Clint goes out and like looking at people, and he's like, that guy is eight dicks he sucked.
One, two, three dicks he sucked. Oh my god. And then what if you did get turned into a vampire, and then you were like, well, how do I turn other people in? Like, you get bit in the neck or whatever and it happens, but then you gotta do it and you're like, hey man, I keep biting people in the neck but they just die. Like, then he's like, oh, your special vampire power is you suck dick and you bite it. And you're like, wait, what? How did I get that fucking power? Everyone has a special power. Mine is I can fly. You suck dick and turn people into other vampires, but they will be your minions.
And that's why Clint can't look in the mirror.
I'm team werewolf all the way. Fuck this.
So Clint's tribe of minions are a bunch of eunuchs because he bites all their dicks off.
But I'm like, listen, dude. Okay, listen, guys. I can make you a vampire. It's really cool. You'll be invulnerable. You can seduce chicks, but I got to bite your dick off. They're like, what? No. Yep, that's the plan.
That's unique vampires.
Okay, so the greatest part about being a vampire is that you can basically get like any chick, right? You have that sexual attractive power.
Yeah, but I think dudes are also attracted to you as well.
That's cool too. But in Clint's team of vampires, nobody can fuck because he's bit everybody's dicks off.
Oh, shit.
Dude, yeah. It's just a lot of heavy grinding. Just
yeah, it's just a lot of heavy petting, little finger in the corn.
It's all just oral.
That is a good point, Mike, that you bring up.
Okay, so let's cover some details because we've made a lot of assumptions. So like, what are vampire powers? Because they shift a lot. I mean, do you have to be invited in before you can go to people's houses? Like, do you just awkwardly stand at people's front door waiting before you come in?
Which is stupid. I mean, okay. All right. What if you get him in through a window? Like, could you bust in through the window, but just not the front door?
It is crazy how many different vampires they are. So for like October watching horror movies, we just watched Bram Stoker's Dracula. So one of the parts in his is he has to sleep in the soil of his homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to bring boxes of dirt with him to sleep in it.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Right? Like, took up half of the whole storage bay in his boat when he was coming over.
You only get 45 pounds each check.
What if he's flying, right? And the TSA loses his bags, his box, and he gets in and he's like, oh, God, what is my bed? And they're like, sorry, sir, we've got 72 hours to give you your bags before we will give you the money to replace. But that is a very special bag. I need it to sleep. No, okay, sir, we're sorry. The TSA is not responsible for the dirt. And then they give him one and it's the wrong dirt. And he's like, this is the wrong goddamn dirt. I'm going to die.
Sir, dirt is dirt.
Or like, he's in the plane watching the baggage handlers take the bags out. You see the baggage handlers drop the box.
He's, oh, fuck. Oh, no. This is horrible.
There's dirt all over the tarmac. He's just watching them suck it up with like a vacuum. He's like, no, please, God, no.
That is 3,000-year-old dirt. I need that.
Oh, goddamn it, no. He manages to recover like a small box of it. He just has to put his head in the dirt to sleep and nothing else.
He just carries a bucket with him and sticks his head in like an ostrich.
Yeah, exactly. You fucking assholes.
How about the vampire move where like they can sort of like not really fly, but they can just sort of slide from place to place, kind of ninja like,
really tiny steps.
Yeah, what power is
that? The power to move you.
It's roller skates.
Each vampire has issued their own set of roller skates.
Yeah, it's part of the standard issue. Yeah. I wanted to say on the box issue, I used to watch an old show called Dark Shadows.
Oh, great. Great show.
So Barnabas Collins, the main vampire in the show, he has a thing. He has to sleep in a coffin. So he gets this guy, Willie Loomis, who he bites him, turns him into a slave. And now Willie has to do everything he says. Willie's not special at all. He's just a typical old guy. And he makes Willie go and fucking get his coffin and move it around to different places. I'm really confused. Like, how they gloss over the actual transportation of the coffin. Could you imagine just being tasked, hey, go pick that fucking coffin up and take it to another house and don't let anybody see you.
Coffins are fucking heavy.
So, dude, Barnabas comes into a room, right? And he's like, he kind of glides into the room and he's looking around. This will be perfect for my bedroom. And then you see Willie behind him. He can't get it through the door. He's like, this fucking coffin is too goddamn big. And then it's 10 minutes later of him and Barnabas like, well, maybe if we turn it to the side and Willie, put it down. No, there's a corner here, Willie. God damn it.
So what about werewolves? We're giving the werewolves no love.
Well, if you got to suck dicks to be a vampire.
Brad's already like, I'm a fucking werewolf.
What do you got to do for the fucking dog style? You got to hump your leg? Or
they're all sexual deviants one way or the other. All right, so guys, are werewolves intelligent?
See, that's the thing. Werewolves, you change, you just have the mind of a beast, right? You don't have, like, cognizant intelligence.
If you're a werewolf, you're kind of like a dog. Dogs are smart.
Yeah.
First, think about this for a minute. What's your favorite werewolf of any of the movies? I got mine. Underworld. I love the werewolves in Underworld.
Teen Wolf.
You said Teen Wolf. Oh, you can dunk.
Curse of the Werewolf, I think, is pretty badass.
Curse of the Werewolf, yep. Gotcha. Brad, what do you think?
Shit. I'm being honest, I haven't.
He's like, I don't like Red Rockets, man. I'm not into werewolves. I just don't know.
That was going to be my thing is like, you know, I'm going to say no to werewolf if that means that I have an actual dog wiener. So that would gross me out every time. I'd be like, oh man, I'm so horny. This is, oh, not that thing again.
I can't jerk this thing. It's just grossing me out.
I can't even touch that thing.
Oh no.
Well, plus you couldn't jerk it because you got giant claws on your hands. So no matter what your penis is as a werewolf, you're not going to be jerking off.
Why do you think dogs spend so much time licking their own balls? They can't jerk off.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. They can't masturbate, so they just hump stuff.
It would be horrible if you encounter a werewolf, but before he tears you apart, like he is like one of those little horny dogs.
He humps your leg until he kills you.
Right.
I loved American Werewolf in London. Like, that was a pretty classic movie. So, like, he could always see the people that he killed. Remember that part? Even when he was in human form, he could see all the dead people that he killed.
That's a weird werewolf power.
That is a weird werewolf. That's a horrible werewolf power.
Yeah. It's a really shitty one, actually. Another werewolf movie, Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just called The Werewolf, right?
Yeah, I think it's just called The Werewolf. But yeah, that one
was
good.
It was actually pretty good. One of the big premises of that movie was Anthony Hopkins would lock himself inside that room on his property and he had the big iron gate on it. And when he knew the full moon was coming, he would lock himself in there.
Oh man, that was fucking cool. There was a scene where like one of the characters comes in and he's like, get out of here, I'm going to kill. And he ends up murdering one of the people that he loved on accident. Dude, that was a brutal fucking scene.
Yeah, yeah, fully. So are you stuck to only full moons?
You kind of have to go by traditional rules. It's otherwise, we can make up whatever we want. And I mean, if we're going to make shit up and be like, I can be a werewolf whenever I want, then it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Let me bring this up real quick, because I thought about, as soon as you said vampire werewolf, I thought about this, right? Let's talk about how they can die. So a werewolf has to be shot by silver bullets. That's it, right? A vampire can like be killed with garlic.
Stake in the heart.
A rosary. So it's fucking easy to find a piece of wood to shove through their heart. It's easy to find some garlic. But where the fuck are you going to get silver bullets? I mean, that is a process.
I mean, bullets aren't too hard to make.
No, but really, right now, if I was like, Mike, you need to go make some silver bullets right now, man. Yeah, you could probably find like some, but where are you going to get pure silver? You have to go find jewelry from everybody, melt it down, make a bullet. You have to have a machine to make a bullet.
Oh, I know. That gold store on the corner where we buy gold. That's where I'd go.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me grab grandma's jewelry and melt that down. What the temperature have to be? What do I need? I need some kind of press.
That's not hard. You get a hollow point bullet. You get a propane torch from fucking Home Depot or Mab Gas or something like that. You just get like one freaking silver chain. You fill that hollow point full of silver and you got werewolf killing machine right there.
You know, like you do.
All right. So for anybody who's not a fucking militia guy like Brad, all right, so bring three of us right now. For any of the rest of us, like if you were like, Clint, go get some shit to make a silver bullet, I'd be like, all right, first let me Google it.
Oh, Clint, you're so lost in the apocalypse.
Look, my point is this. It should be easy as fuck to kill a vampire. There's like multiple ways that are all easily obtainable. Like you can order pizza and kill a vampire, right?
If you get the extra garlic sauce, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Go to Papa John's, get that garlicky butter sauce and throw it in his face and he's dead, man.
Not the butter and garlic sauce.
I am here to kill you. I'm going to suck your blood. And is that Papa John's? Oh, no. Oh. I can't suck your blood. No. I'm leaving. Oh, God, no. But a werewolf, it's like you got to shoot that motherfucker with a bullet.
You know what? To balance out the whole has to be full moon thing, maybe when you turn into a werewolf, it hurts, you know, because every scene depicted of a werewolf turning looks like it hurts like a motherfucker, like your bones break.
Oh, yeah. Sure does.
Good
it
point.
Looks horrible, yeah.
Good point.
And your face elongates and you're screaming.
Your fingernails are like getting pushed out underneath of your fingernails.
I mean, that's just terrible in itself.
Like your bones are literally popping and stretching and your face is blowing out.
You're screaming, your face is ripping open and... Yeah, man. Being a werewolf would fucking suck. Like, I don't give a shit if I can turn to a werewolf at will. If that's what it feels like, I'm never turning. I'm back to team sucking vampire wiener now.
back to vampire wieners. I got the tag to this whole thing. Because Nerd is Team Edward. I think we just figured that out.
Oh, Lord. I think that settles that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. But when we return... Clint's going to tell us all about one of the 1980s most badass baddies, the magical master of mayhem, Skeletor.
So a little background on Skeletor. He was the bad guy in the show He-Man. Blue guy with the yellow skeleton head.
Incredibly muscular for a skeleton, too.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely muscular skeleton. Had a lot of funny quips and was surrounded by a bunch of idiots who always foiled his plans, which is a theme in the 80s. Skeletor wasn't always Skeletor, though. His real name was Keldor. He was a human, but he was a blue-skinned human. He was a half-breed.
I thought he was a dark elf.
No, he's not a dark elf. There's a race.
We don't see race here on Because Nerd.
Yeah, right. So in He-Man, you've got Prince Adam's dad, King Randor, but back in the day, he was Captain Randor.
His friends call him Cap.
King to you, bitch.
So the story starts out, basically, Captain Randor, before he became King Randor, he had a half-brother Keldor. There was a battle, and mortally wounded in battle, Keldor turned to his dark arts master Hordak to save his life after being mortally wounded. Keldor was forever changed into Skeletor, overlord of evil. He gathered together the greatest outcasts of Eternia in his quest to gain entry into Castle Grayskull and to obtain what he believes is the universe's ultimate power source.
It would be great if it was Men-at-Arms' helmet was the key to all of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is a weird circumcised penis-looking helmet. You know?
Oh, totally, totally.
Have you seen the picture where Man-at-Arms takes his helmet off and he's got like a fro in the shape of the helmet underneath it? Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen how he looks like Murderface from Death Clock?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
So the reason he's got a skeleton head, he faces Captain Randor in a one-to-one battle, and he was about to lose. And so he pulls out a vial of acid. He throws it, but Randor deflects it with his shield, and the acid bounces back and literally melts all the skin off of his face. So that's why he's got a skull head, is King Randor melted it off.
I want to say, it's a badass scene, though. He's having the fight with Randor, exactly what you said. He tries to throw it on Randor, but Randor deflects it, hits it back, hits him right in the face. He immediately is like, Beastman, get us the fuck out of here. And like he brings like a griffin or something like that. And they all jump on it and fly away real fast. He goes back and he calls Hordak. And he's like, Lord Hordak, I need you to save me. I'm fucking dying here. Keep me alive. And he's like, there will be a cost. And he's like, I'll pay anything. And then he's like, then it is done. And he like fucking just bestows something. And his head just melts off to his skull. And he turns around and Evil Lynn sees his head all burned off. She looks freaked out. And he just starts laughing his ass off. And it's like, man, Skeletor is fucking sick, dude.
Dude, it makes him crazy. He literally goes nuts in that scene. He literally goes insane.
I love that Hordak's like, I'll bring you back to life, but you ain't get your fucking face back.
Yeah, Hordak didn't tell him. He's like, okay, I'll do whatever it takes. And he turns around. He's like, Evil Lynn, how do I look? And she's like, he didn't really heal you. Excuse me. What do you mean he didn't heal me? I asked him to heal me and I could be back to normal. And he looks in the mirror. He's like, oh, fuck me.
Evil Lynn's like, nope.
Hey, at least I'm not dead, I guess. Fuck.
I'm not dead, I guess.
So a couple notable powers of Skeletor here, just to kind of give you a little more background on him. He's an extremely powerful sorcerer. He's got a control over a vast range of dark magical powers. Like, He-Man is strong. That's really all he's got, right? So he's just Conan with a cat. He's got no magic.
I have a thing for that. I was watching something last night I've never seen before. YouTube just suggested it to me, and I could not resist. The New Adventures of He-Man. If you've never seen this, it'll blow your mind. So He-Man has to go to the future now to help these people, and they call for He-Man, and so like that's the premise of the show. But what they say is, we must find a hero from the past to help us deliver the good and the magic. And they keep saying that phrase over and over again. He's the one with the good and the magic. Right?
That's awesome. That kind of plot writing can get everybody on television, but I can't even come up with a fucking intro for Skeletor.
That's right, exactly.
I don't remember Skeletor using any specific magical powers.
Oh, he did.
He's a superman. Magic. Yeah, like, man, that dude can do all kinds of shit.
The dude is super magic. Okay, so here's the deal, though.
He's super magic.
Yeah.
He's super magic. No, really.
Super magic. Okay, with the
listen, here's some of his powers, right? He's got the ability to teleport himself and others at will over vast distances.
He can pull a rabbit out of a hat.
That's right. He can do the interlocking rings thing. He's mastered that part.
Yes, exactly. He's like, which hand is it in? And then it's not in either hand. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's in your butt all of a sudden. You're like, whoa, how'd that happen?
Right? Super good at the card tricks.
He can send telepathic commands to all of his minions, so he can talk to all the bad guys.
Convenient.
This one's a little weird, but apparently he can grow plants.
Well, you gotta feed the minions.
Got a huge marijuana farm.
Huge pothead.
And next thing you see, he's riding a tractor with a fucking little farmer's hat on.
Growing his crops.
Got the stick of wheat in his mouth. Bib overalls on.
Smoking a J. Just tending to his crop.
You see that normal scene of Snake Mountain, but like now they've like cultivated it all and it's just a huge pot field.
And, and fucking He-Man shows up and he's like, He-Man, you look a little aggro, buddy. I mean, you're really wanting to fight all the time. I can help you. I've overcome my anger issues.
He-Man, quit taking all those steroids. They're really wrecking your brain. They're making you act like a fucking asshole all the time. You need to smoke some of this and chill the fuck out, man.
Chill out, He-Man. Sit down and better take in some of my herbs.
Let's have a talk, He-Man.
I meant toke, not talk.
Right. And what's with the loincloth, man? I mean, Jesus Christ, it's a...
That's no cloth.
Did you just say that's no cloth?
I did it in my best Dolph Lundgren voice, too.
Jesus Christ, He-Man, I thought you were wearing a loincloth. Is that your bush? Oh, goddammit. I'm trying to imagine all the minions of Skeletor and like what their jobs would be on the weed farm. Like Lockjaw would be like some kind of tiller. He'd like till the dirt with his mouth.
Trapjaw, I need you to go out there and get this field ready. It's extremely hard and rocky. I need you to go out there and just chew on the ground.
Remember though, you know when you do the wheelbarrow like you when you're like in a relay race? Yeah. You know, and like you hold somebody's legs up and you walk with them and they're on their front hands. You've got Beast Man out there holding his legs up and Trapjaw's head is just bouncing along the ground.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so some more notable powers of of the great Toker. Hypnotism. He can cast illusions, which he's done on multiple occasions. He can reflect magic. He can project freezing rays. He can freeze people. He can open gateways between dimensions, for Christ's sakes. He also possesses considerable scientific skill, creating various machines and devices. And he's a highly skilled swordsman, wielding dual swords and taking on multiple opponents. Now, that's only his powers personally. He also has a staff called the Havoc Staff that can discharge bolts of mystic force from the head of the staff. He can use it for more powerful forms of magic, such as the theft of dreams. For Christ's sake.
Wow. Dream stealer.
That's dark.
Right?
It sounds dark, but I mean, it's really not that, you know, like, so what if someone steals my dreams?
Right. He's like, ha ha.
What are you going to do with them?
My soul's already been crushed by this evil world, so right. You can take my dreams.
Yeah, right.
So like, you go to Snake Mountain and you have an appointment, you get to the front desk and you're like, I'm here to see Skeletor. And you go in and he's like a psychologist. He's got his couch and he's like, tell me what your dreams are. And you're like, dude, I got this fucking dream of where like there's a dude and he's got a dick out. And then I get ran over by a truck. Can you just, and he's like, yes, I can help you. I'll take those dreams from you. So he's like,
I love that Skeletor is taking appointments. So that's pretty awesome.
Right. Dude, all of those things together. He is probably one of the baddest ass guys. But yet with all of those powers, He-Man has a sword and like 28 inch biceps. That's all that he has. And Skeletor cannot defeat him.
He's got the good and the magic, man.
Well,
he's got the good and the magic. But after you listing all the powers of freaking Skeletor, I have a hard time believing that He-Man would ever win any fight.
Oh, totally. That's the point, man. But here's how he does win. Apparently, one of Skeletor's weaknesses is flowers. He's allergic to pollen.
Wow.
Oh, this man, his whole pot thing is going down in flames. God damn it.
Yeah. So the muscle-bound hero He-Man used a flower transformation power on him and turned some of Skeletor's monsters into flowers. At that point, Skeletor was defeated, moaning about how he lost thanks to his intense pollen allergy.
So, wow, so he gets his ass kicked by allergies.
He exactly.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, just...
he doesn't even have a nose. He has no nose.
Well, that's what... It's straight injection. Like, that's the problem, man. It just goes right into the sinuses. I mean, it is... It sucks.
Right. Exactly.
There's no filter there. There's no...
Oh, man. So here's the other cool thing about Skeletor that most people probably don't know. He's actually He-Man's uncle.
You know how you just hate your nephew, that one nephew you've got, that you're just like, God damn it. Like, that's how he feels. Shit. Like, that's why he just fucking hates this guy.
Yeah, he's like, you little snotty shit. I tried to help raise you and your father was an asshole. Fuck you. No, but anyway, there was in one of the episodes, King Randor tells He-Man that his long-lost brother, Keldor, yada yada, and he explained Keldor was his half-brother, but his uncle to He-Man. And then later, basically, you find out that, you know, obviously Keldor is Skeletor, so he's He-Man's uncle. And then I started thinking about all the weird uncle like diddling stories.
Oh Lord!
And I'm like, jeez. Oh no, that's why He-Man wants to kill him.
Oh shit!
Now we're getting to why He-Man wins.
That's
it's actually
right.
Deep boiling anger. Just
oh yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. He-Man's been going through therapy for years, man.
Wait, that doesn't work because Skeletor could just take his dreams and he wouldn't fucking know about it. Right?
Oh my god, that's fucking sick.
Well, now you've got me thinking of like Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. Now, like you know, when you like when there's times when you just got to put everything aside and fucking like have everybody over and fight about politics cordially somehow with your family.
Oh like, yeah, I just like see all year like, long they fight, and but one time a year they all get together in Eternia in the mountain. In Castle Grayskull, so like it's Thanksgiving time, and they're like, "Okay, everyone, we have to be nice to Skeletor and his people. He's my uncle. I have to invite him over. We've called the truce for this day every year." And then it's just this awkward dinner.
Skeletor walks in. He's like, "Hey, are you fucking libtard twats? What's going on?" They're like, "Fuck me, man."
You're like, "God damn it, he's got to be." And he goes into the kitchen to cut the turkey, and he's like, "Just calm down, He-Man. It's only for a couple hours. Calm down." He's like, "Hey, Tila, you're looking pretty hot. Those boobs are getting big.
You're really developing out there, aren't you?"
"Hey, maybe you come over to Snake Mountain later. Let me show you my secret skull flipper trick, huh?" "Hey, man at arms, I still see your head looks like a dick."
You see Man at Arms like reaching for his mace to like pull it out, and like you know, He-Man's right. Like, "Stop!" He's like, no, stop. Not right now.
Oh, come on,
we
come
promise
on,
not
on.
Today.
"Hey, you're that dude with the wings whose neck gets really long. That must be useful, huh?"
"What do you call that sex trick, huh? Come on, go ahead, show us a little bit of it."
"Hey, when you get excited, does your head just go up slowly by itself, uncontrollably?"
"Hey, watch this, Beastman gets a red rocket. Come here, Beastman."
"Beastman, come here, show him the trick. Beastman.
Hold on,
just show him the trick.
If you just tickle his belly for a couple minutes, watch this. Oh,
oh, there it is. There's the little guy right there.
Look at you, you fucking dirty little cunt. Put that thing away."
"Oh, you're a sick monster. Now go away."
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God, dude. That's awesome. Rand Man, so you don't have a neck, huh? You just run into stuff? That's pretty cool, I guess.
What, you just in for the hard fucking? Is that why they call you Rand Man? Huh?
Hey, man. Hey. God damn it. I can't even get the joke out.
Jesus Christ. Come on, Prince Adam. Did they name the piercing after you, or are you named after it? Which way does it go?
Come on, show us. Is it always there, or only when you turn into He-Man?
Oh, shit.
So anyway, actually, so Skeletor, when I started digging deep, I kind of felt bad for Skeletor. One of the storylines, and I can't remember which one it is, but basically he had a worthy cause for wanting the power of Grayskull. It was the mini comics actually that they came out with. They said he was originally inhabitant of another dimension populated with others of his kind during the Great Wars, but an interdimensional hole was opened up and Skeletor was thrown from his world into Eternia, significantly different from the lonelier, entirely self-serving Skeletor of later depictions. He was a good guy And the villain's key motivation in that story was to reopen the rift to his world, to Eternia, and allow his other people to come through. So he was basically, you know, his desire was just to bring free his people, liberate them to Eternia, and like give them a better life, basically. And then He-Man started fucking that up for everybody.
Well, man, now fuck He-Man. He's a dick.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.